Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Previously on Chaotic Normal, after successfully navigating the Ancient One ruins and securing the ewer, or the urn that was their treasure, we escaped only to find that Celeste had been knocked out and taken captive by some Batiri goblins. We successfully fought through them and navigated our way out of the abandoned Camp Righteous, and we then sailed back and find ourselves now sailing back towards Camp Vengeance, the Empire camp that we parked Melora's Borealis at. Now we just need to get away successfully without drawing any more attention to ourselves. Surely we can get away with that, or we will make a ruckus. Let us find out on Chaotic Normal, the Shattered Isles.
As you get out into the water, Darwin Nash looks angry and curses. Damned, blasted goblins. There's nothing more foul in all the Shattered Isles. Nothing in the deep nor in the locker of the sailor's devil. Nothing more blasted than those Batiri creatures that go about ruining all that these isles have to offer. Despoilers all. Oh, and you can tell that he is in clear anguish as he then adds, "There's no getting my notes back. I had the greater part of the my field notes in one of those tents. Copies, of course, but there's no recovering what I have written down there." His eyes fall on the jug, but perhaps not all is lost. We have the jug.
Hey, you got any money on you? What if we turn around?
You see that the land is still crawling with goblins. You could go back, but they're definitely going to be watching the shore. And while you were able to handle probably 9-10 goblins, the swarms of goblins would assuredly put arrows and javelins into you before you could really even meet shore.
All right, I take it back. I walk that back.
And Darwin Nash explains as much, saying, "Besides, by the time we make it back, they'll have ravaged everything in my tent and used the, and probably used the paper for food. And they'll probably be wearing shoes crafted rudimentary out of the leather bindings of my journals. Sure enough, they'll be shitting in my bed." Disgusting creatures. Filthy, ruinous despoilers.
You have your life, I throw across from the other boat.
He sighs and he says, "Hey, that I do. A life which can be used to explore that which remains untainted by goblin. Now that we have this jug, that is."
Yes, where is this pool we are seeking?
He smiles a broad-toothed smile and says, "You said you were seeking Azure Stand, didn't you?"
Yes, does that... Oh, no.
"This jug needs to be filled with the waters from the fountain at the heart of Azure Stand. If we do that, if we fill it with those ancient waters, waters not reached, so legend says," and he shouts this over from one boat to the other, "waters not touched by the Everstorm. If we fill this jug with those waters that are still the way they were when the ancient ones walked these lands, then its magics will come alive. The people who worshipped this jug, well, they could use it for all manner of things. They could use it to create acid on command, poisons when they needed to tip their spears, beers when they looked to celebrate, honey when they sought to preserve, oils for cooking, vinegars for cleaning. They could produce fresh water with it, able to be drank from it. They could create salt when they needed to scrub a wound, or wine even. There's even reports of them creating a strange emulsified substance that they could scoop from the jar, similar to what you'd make when you combine oil and egg. For some reason, the alchemical jug
allows you to create mayonnaise.
Yeah, one of the eight or nine things it can create is 2 gallons of mayonnaise.
That's delicious.
That's disgusting.
This will be so handy on the ship, guys.
Nash kind of balks and says, "But those uses were the uses a primitive creature would use them for. If filled not with the salt waters of this world, but with the water at the purest piece of the Shattered Isles, that is, the waters in Azure Stand, this can be used to pour forth the secrets of the Ancient Ones. I believe it can be used to find the Forbidden City." And as he says that, the weight of the word Forbidden City soaks in. Everyone's heard the tales of the Forbidden City, the capital of the Ancient Ones, a place that no one could tread but those very people. Some say it's a myth. Some say it's where the Fountain of Youth remains. Some say the Ancient Ones still live there, isolated and safe. Others argue it's a city made of pure gold. While still others say it was sunk beneath the waves and it was at the heart of the Everstorm. All manner of stories abound of this ancient capital. But in each of these stories, it does hold that no one, not even Batiri goblins, has ever found the Forbidden City.
Well, no matter what it holds, whoever finds it will be one of the greatest pirates the Shattered Isles has ever seen, no?
Nash smiles and says, "Whoever finds it will be the greatest explorer, and not to say the richest man or woman to ever exist."
I think Jules isn't quite sure why, but a chill kind of goes down the spine. And I think a memory that this is what Jules was seeking when everything went bad comes up.
So you row back towards Camp Vengeance with these thoughts on your minds. Eventually Celeste comes too. You catch her up on everything, but she's groggy headed from the... you see that the goblins clearly hit her with a poison dart arrow that knocked her clean out with very little damage done. So even if you had tried to cast a healing spell, she still had the poisoned condition. However, she groggily comes out of that poisoned state. She seems to be fine enough, although, strangely, the goblin poison has had an added side effect of losing her voice. And that's why Celeste is in here right now. But you return back to Camp Vengeance, having rescued Darwin Nash. I don't believe you had any business to really tend to with the commandant here at Camp Vengeance, save for he asked you to scout out and clear out Camp Righteous, their previous camp, because before it was full of zombies. Although when you arrived there, you quickly inform him that no longer are there zombies, but it is crawling with Batiri goblins, meaning that it is still virtually unsuitable. Nash complains long and hard about how the Empire ought to be doing more to control these goblin populations and keep them from destroying every single thing of value in this world. And others argue that maybe that's not they should be focusing on pirates. They don't have time for goblins, and there's some politicking back and forth. But as you hear this argument between them, you kind of become aware that Nash isn't staunchly anti-imperial. However, you've successfully explored Camp Righteous. You've successfully found Darwin Nash, who apparently also wants to travel to Azurstand. With that, you do all gain a level.
Bwah, 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 bwah. We also, sheesh. What time do we get back? Because we also want to smuggle Samson, I think was his name, the cleric.
The cleric, yeah. You do get back as dusk is, or night is setting in.
Cool.
Perfect. I'm the loot guy. I want the uniforms. Is there time to break into the barracks while Celeste's voice is hurt?
Yeah, you've sent Celeste back to the Melora's Borealis to heal. You don't have a ship's doctor, which I think is why you were trying to smuggle Samson out, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And he was asking for it because he didn't want to get overwhelmed and deaded when this place gets devoured by zombies.
So I think in the middle of the night, while we're smuggling him out, we could probably steal some uniforms.
Right. So is this a daring midnight raid that involves everyone, or do you not want to risk everyone having to make stealth checks?
Yeah, I think it should. Zelnern should not be here.
Wait, that's
do you guys want to do like some crazy? I don't want to speak out of turn, Captain, but what if we did some pirate stuff, like brought the crew on board and slaughtered everyone?
I think that would draw way too much attention from the Empire.
You also realize that your crew is probably not up to raiding a well-fortified military camp full of armed and armored soldiers.
Well, I was just thinking when the zombies... Yeah, never mind.
That seems like taking advantage of a situation that would be a very ill omen for us. No. I think taking some uniforms and stealing a priest is going to be attention enough that we do not want.
All right, dream big.
No, I like where your head's at, though. But, yeah, I think as depleted as they are, I think they still are... Their strength would outweigh ours.
I'm just thinking it might really bring the crew around, but never mind.
I don't think we need to rile them up anymore. Although we do need something to show for this, because they really are kind of on edge still. So while we're stealing the uniforms, perhaps there's something else that we might be able to steal. You know what? When we get back, let's break open one of those barrels of brandy. That will probably quell them.
That's a little bad idea.
Was that to quell the crew or the soldiers?
The crew. Because even I know we dealt with the Kraken situation, but I know they're still kind of...
They're still on it.
Borderline mutiny.
Yeah. Basically, because, there's still a Kraken, and their captain is wearing a kelp noose.
Yeah. I've been hiding it pretty well, though, right?
The crew saw. So,
does Darwin Nash say anything about that?
You've gotten better at hiding it, so okay. He hasn't seen it yet. It was that first time you tried to hide it, the check was like a 3, like the crew saw it. As Darwin Nash makes his farewells to the... Or basically, would you rather sneak into the camp at night when it's pitch black, and there are guards posted, or do you want to do your heist while Nash is still in camp?
I think...
Or I guess while you're... Basically, you've come back to camp with Nash.
We've come back to camp with Nash. I think we send Celeste, Nash, probably Zilnern back to the ship. Tell Zilnern to break open one of the barrels of brandy. We'll be there in a while. Like, we have this canoe, so we can get back to the ship without the Naughty Dreams, or we send them on the canoe, either or. We have another ship that we can, you know, latch to the ship. Jules, are you willing to help out with this heist?
I can do this. Yeah. I've been wearing this this robe. I think looks pretty good on me, I have to say, but ever since I put it on, I've been feeling like
you got to try it out.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, I don't have enough stuff, you know. I lost everything and now maybe it's my time. You know.
Why don't we bring like a crew member, Amory, put a little hair on their chest? You know, a little on the job experience.
Subtlety is not Amory's strong suit. I think you, me, and Jules, I think with the three of us, we can successfully smuggle out one person and some uniforms. More than that, and I think might be beyond us.
All right, man.
I'm trying to reasonably account for our abilities and our past.
Well, why Zell got to go back? I don't want to row the boat. You guys want to row the boat?
You know what? First task for the new doctor, he rows the boat. If he wants to be smuggled out, he has to earn his keep.
I like that. All right.
Also, Zelnern, he's not the swiftest of body and mind, let's be honest. And you're not here. And he's very good with the crew, being the chef. He can crack open the brandy, he can calm them, he's very good with the crew. They love him.
Well, Darkin, mind you, so you've talked with Darwin Nash, and you know, I mean, he made it clear he also wanted to travel to Azure Stand. And in fact, he explains that he had come here originally with an Imperial transport. But, you know, I mean, you recall his expeditionary party up to Camp Righteous all died, which he expresses that he finds that you've been doing much better. Darwin Nash asks if he can join you on your quest into Azure Stand, and says that he knows a great deal about it and believes he can provide a quality guide to get you to the heart of Azure Stand if you'll have him.
Absolutely. You would be welcome aboard Melora's Borealis.
Wonderful. Just show me to my office and I'll get set up.
I think Celeste wouldn't mind you sharing her space.
Wonderful. I'll head to the navigator's quarters immediately. We'll add that to that.
She's gonna love that.
So as you've brought him on board as a guide for this next step of the quest, or the next step of your adventure, you try to sneak back into Camp Vengeance. By now, night has fallen. So there are guards. So there's torches down. Or recall that there is a moat all around it. So the only way to approach Camp Vengeance is by the bridge across, like the dirt bridge across the moat into the front fence, or to scale the deep moat and the corpse-covered spikes and then the wooden walls to jump your way into Camp Vengeance. What's your preference there?
Probably the former.
So it would be very difficult to get through that door without a lie or a persuasion.
What about
because there are
invisibility?
Guards. That'll help if you can get the door open.
You want me to... Do they know I have a peg leg? Why don't I just take my peg leg off? You guys carry me. He's hurt.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Do that?
Get help? You're playing get help?
Yeah. Thoughts?
I like get help.
Yeah, I like that.
All right, so you come rowing back from the boat, moving up to the fence, looking distressed and worried. One of the guards from the gatehouse, or from above the gatehouse, shouts down, "Stop there! Are you zombies?" The man cries out.
"No, we are not zombies, but we came from Camp Zorachus. This man, he is injured. He needs medical attention."
The guard on the gate immediately starts saying, "Okay, open the gates! Open the gates! There's a man out here! What needs attention?" To which the person deeper inside, or down below, that he's shouting to says, "Well, hold on there! Don't just go trusting every nightman that comes walking in! You know, some of them dead can talk! It's like memories and stuff." "Well, he doesn't look dead to me. They said they came from Camp Righteous, didn't they? Everybody was dead up there. How'd they come from up there?" The man looks down at you, looks back behind him at his friend, and says, "What do I do?" "We'll find out if they're dead." "How?" "Ask them a question that only a living man would know." He turns back to you and says, "What?
Spit it out, son. Come on.
What temperature is it?"
"Right now, it's kind of humid. Like, there's mosquitoes everywhere. I'm very sweaty. Does that help?"
He says he's sweaty. Dead man can't sweat. "Are you sure he's not moist with rot? Are you sure you're sweaty and not moist with rot?"
"I mean, I kind of smell like death, but that's just, you know, lack of deodorant and perfumes."
All right, I need a deception to convince these people with this. You have advantage for the amount of work you're doing and get help, as these clearly not super competent guards try to figure out if you're zombies or not.
Dirty 20.
After a bit of deliberation, they decide you're not dead, and they open the door for you. You're let into Camp Vengeance, and as soon as you get in, the one of the guards says, "We'll take him to the medical tent and get him cared for. You two should probably go, you two should go report to the commandant, let him know that more of us have been found up at Camp Vengeance."
I need to make sure that my man here is safe. There's a Samson, I remember his name. He's a cleric. I trust him with this man's life.
Both of the guards start laughing and say, "Samson? That guy's squeamish at the sight of blood."
I would trust him, please. I know him well.
One of them says, "Trust me, soon as the dead even showed up, he passed out right in one of the boats. The only reason he made it out of Camp Vengeance is because he was unconscious in a boat when we rowed our way out."
Please, he's an old family friend. Please, I must see Samson.
I need a persuasion to convince them that Samson's the one to see.
14 plus 10, 24.
It's close. But they say, "All right, if you want your guy's leg taken care of poorly," one of them says, "we'll get you a nice peg. Don't you worry."
"Thank you so much, Captain.
You'll be hobbling along the deck like nobody else."
"Captain, maybe go to the barracks and talk to the commander. I'll take care of Samson."
"Oh, okay.
He'll take good care of me, I mean. Oh, my leg hurts."
With Jules's help, they carry Phil back towards one of the tents where they knock on the tent or like flap it and say, "Samson! Get your frightened little ass up. You got somebody here whose leg you gotta replace." You hear Samson inside go, oh God, how? Is it zombies again?" I'll just say, "Well, yeah, but not here, up above. They're not zombies. We checked." To which Samson, poking his head out, looks over and sees Phil missing a leg, Jules sitting there, and says, "Oh God, what happened to you?"
when I see him, I scream, see if he screams back at me.
He does. He stumbles back into his tent, and the men bustle, with Jules' help, bustle you in and set you down on the cot inside his little medical tent, and then say they have to get back to guard duty. Samson lets them leave and then looks at the two of you and says, "What happened? Oh, God."
I take my peg leg out of my pocket. I don't think we met yet, but you're a part of the crew now. I'm your ride.
His eyes look open with fear, and he says, "Am I being kidnapped?"
"No, you work for me now." Well, not me particularly, but you work for me when you're on the Naughty Dreams, but...
You're with Captain Rupert.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not much of the talker.
Relief comes over him. He says, let me grab my things. Oh, thank God. And he starts bustling a medical kit together while the two of you wait. Having made it to the tent, you have to figure out a way to get Samson out now. Meanwhile, Rupert, you went off to the Commandant's tent?
I look as if I'm heading off to the Commandant's tent, and then, like, as I'm approaching, I'll turn towards the armory, I guess.
Okay, make a stealth check.
Ooh, 4 + 4, 8.
You turn and find yourself face to face with a guard on patrol. He stands above you, like he has a scimitar in his belt and a pike in his hand, and he's right in front of you, a full chainmail vest, spike cap helm, and he says, "Whoa there, mercenary. What are you out looking for? Curfew's been called."
"I'm sorry, I have to piss so badly. Where is the latrine?"
He points back to where the latrines are and says, "You must have drank far more than your share, mercenary. Your team's been digging the latrines all day." Deception, as he's looking at us, doubting your
15?
Come on, wisdom plus 0, 8. He nods and says, "Undisciplined mercenary." Basically pirates. He gestures you off towards the latrines.
"Oh, thank you so much.
Get back to your bed as soon as you can."
Of course. What was your name, by the way?
His eyes squint down and he says, "I'm not telling my name to some lowly pirate."
Okay, excuse you, lowly, but I just wanted to, give a recommendation to your commander for being so very helpful.
Persuasion to see if it's helpful, this, or if that works, or if he's misinterpreting a threat.
No, crit miss.
He kind of sets the spear down against the wall and kind of pushes the chainmail up as if rolling up his sleeves, and he says, "So it's going to be like that, huh, mercenary? What I call you, I say you drink a little too much. Suddenly, you're going to rat at me out to my to the commandant?"
No, I would never do such a thing.
He starts hoisting his knuckles up as if ready to fight, and he says, "May I ought to teach you a lesson."
Fuck, all right, I'll start rolling up my sleeves too. And then I will cast Charm Person on him.
Save. I got a 2.
Cool. Charlie, oh, you have such big arms. It would.
Yeah. As you start rolling up your sleeves, and he's rolling up his sleeves, and then you say something like that, and he kind of starts laughing, and he says, "God damn it. No, I'm just fucking with you. Yeah, right. The shitter's back there." You know, I was close to giving you the beating of your life, kid.
You know, oh, man, I was fearful for my life. You know, the commandant told me that you actually have the rest of the night off. So
deception.
With advantage because of charm person, right?
Yeah.
28.
He rolled a 19 with his plus 1 wisdom, so 20, but less than your 28. He smiles and he says, "Really? Oh, I could use the extra shut eye. Well, tell the commandant I say thank you, and good talking to you, mercenary." He starts to take a step away, and then he says, "Oh, you know what? Elric. Name's Elric. What was your name?
Rubert Graysand.
I'll remember it. Rubert Graysand. Good to meet you.
Yeah, also, that uniform looks very nice.
You look at his, like, sweat-stained, salty uniform, because in this malaria pit they're in, and he just looks down at it and, thanks!
Where would I get something like that?
You'd have to become an Imperial officer. We don't give them out to mercenaries. You can't have pirates going around wearing Imperial uniforms.
Of course.
And formal Imperial chain. And he points to the chainmail he's wearing, made of a dark metal with a brandish red Imperial star on it.
But I mean the style. Like, I just need some inspiration, you know? Like, I couldn't, of course, wear your uniform, but, like, the styling is so imposing and grand.
Need you to succeed on one more deception to see if you can, or persuasion to see if you can convince him.
That's he a is crit, your friend, so 30.
And you only needed a 10 because he views you as a friend. He smiles, he says, you know, why don't I show you, let you try on a few sets of it in the armory.
Oh, that'll be perfect.
And he takes you off to that tent and lets you fashion show different sets until you find a set of chainmail that fits you nice.
Hell yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Meanwhile, back in Samson's tent, he's packed together all his supplies. And then looks at the two of you, Jules and Phil, and asks, So what's the plan? How are we getting out?
Jules, can we have a sidebar really quick?
Sure, yeah.
All right. So I was thinking I was just going to light this motherfucker on fire. Not him, but like, just we'll light a couple tents on fire, start a commotion.
I think these guys will be able to survive out here with their tents and their... They're going to get eaten alive.
You do have more compassion than me. What are you thinking? What do you have in mind?
Well, I mean, can we just book it?
Well, we could. The front gate is locked again. Closed.
I'm just thinking, like, if we, you know, if we lit Samson's tent on fire, then all right, I'm a walk it back a little bit. I won't light random people's tents on fire. We just light Samson's on fire. Then we're like, fire, help. And then people, you know, they run down from the battlements, kind of scurry up that way.
And you're thinking we can climb up the battlements and maybe scale down the side?
No, I'm not leaving my boat. What are you thinking? No, we got to open it up and then we got to get in the boat. We got to row away.
Well, the boat's down on the beach, so if you climb down the battlements, okay, you can get down to the beach.
Oh, I thought we like rode it in moat for some reason. No, okay, yeah, and then I can just we'll feather fall down. You know.
All right. Yeah. Let's try it.
All right.
All right.
This is more your wheelhouse than mine. There's no treasure here, so this is.
Samson has his medical bag and like his personal bag held tight, and says, "Well, it's a okay." He points to his little kerosene lamp and says, "Could use that."
All right. So Samson, when we walk out of here, I need like you hold me up because you're like propping me up because you're just working on me. So I'll like fake walk like I can't walk. We'll light this mother on fire, and then you got to be like, "Help, help! There's a fire." Kind of go from there.
He takes a deep sigh and says, "Lying isn't against the teachings of the ecclesiarchy, but intentionally giving incorrect information is against the teachings of the ecclesiarchy. Though there is space for telling truths that aren't the truth people think you're telling them. Sort of an Aes Sedai situation."
Okay. All I have to do is tell them that there's a fire. And there will be.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Jules, you first, and then he'll walk out with me. Tip that lamp over, too.
Maybe you could be the one to, you know, pull the trigger, so to speak.
Okay, yeah, you out first. I'll take care of it.
Sounds good.
All right. Once Jules walks out.
And then Samson on your shoulder? Or you on Samson?
Samson's,
shoulder?
Well, like, he's propping me up. I don't want to be a dick. I really want to just scorching ray it, even though I told you I wouldn't murder a ton of people. But I'm fighting the urge. When the lamp's on the ground, I'll just do a firebolt on it.
All right, you throw on the ground, and then with the fire gouts out, the exploding from your arcane firearm, the fire explodes up, and Samson shouts, "Fire! Fire! There's a fire!" The guard in the tent next to you, Rubert, as you're trying on chainmail, says, "Oh, shit! Fire! Huh, I gotta go deal with this! You get a bucket brigade going!" And he turns and rushes out the door.
Of course, I'll be
right there. he turns and rushes out the door. Rubert, what do you do now that... Because you're not aware of the fire plan.
I'm going to take the opportunity to grab a bunch of uniforms and get the fuck out of here.
You do just that. You start grabbing up, and like their uniforms is the emblazoned chainmail, so it's not good for wearing out to sea, but you start grabbing up a bunch of that chainmail and stuff. And hauling it out, clinking, clattering. Meanwhile, Phil, Jules, and Samson run away from the fire as guards come rushing towards it. You shove past people, insisting you're doing a bucket brigade, and you're trying to go get supplies to put out the fire. As you rush your way up the stairs, people are half distracted, half paying attention to you, but mostly to the fire that threatens to consume the camp if not rapidly contained. Samson looks back and says, "I really hope it doesn't spread to the tents with all the sick people in it." You rush up the stairs as he mutters a prayer, and you hear his prayer is something about safety from the Iron Tower. Keep me bound safely within the creed that I might avoid the chains and punishments of the tower.
Jesus Christ.
Something like that, as he climbs the steps with you. And as you look over the ramparts, you gaze down to the spike-filled moat with corpses strewn across the spikes. Human zombie corpses strewn across the spikes. And you realize that your Featherfall, without a sufficient strength athletics check, means you will just drift slowly down onto sharpened spikes where you'll slowly be impaled.
Well, I'm not the most, I'm not a big jumper.
You require a DC 5 strength athletics. Failure means you get impaled.
Here, you go first. I'll try to help you out, and I'll grab your remaining leg. And there's kind of, you feel it get like super pumped.
And well, you realize you all have to go at the same time for him to be able to feather fall you all.
Yeah. Oh, feather fall. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm like, my own legs, but...
Can I look back and see if the cap, like if I see the captain anywhere down on the ground with like the light licking up?
You do see the commandant stepping out, looking up, and what the hell's going on?
Oh, I meant Captain Ruber.
Oh, Captain Ruber. You look to the tent, you do see Ruber stepping out of the tent, piled high in chainmail, gleaming in the firelight.
Oh, shit. Can I turn my goggles on and off? Try and get his attention.
You're on the other side of the camp, but yeah, flash the goggles on and off. Ruber, your eyes catch him because you have really high perception. You see the fire. You also notice other people turning to notice because some people have high perception. It's other side of the camp. Their eyes are on the fire or on the people on the ramparts. No one's watching you, Ruber.
Ruber's just going to dip towards the exit.
like towards the gates that are shut?
Yeah. Fuck it, I'll run towards the flashing light.
Alright, I need a strength athletics to see if you can get across the camp in time carrying all of this gear. DC 10.
Ooh, 10 exactly, 8 plus 2.
Just barely you get up the ramparts, a few people turning looking again. Hey, what are you doing? Get a bucket, somebody shouts, and then somebody starts coming after you, only to have somebody else grab him and say, it's spread to another tent. You gotta get water. And you watch as people start trying to like pull the tents out. A third tent catches. No. Samson looks on and, oh gosh, oh my. As you're all standing up on the ramparts, do you jump?
I cast Featherfall.
I guidance, I guess myself first.
All right, you all jump the 40 feet down. The Featherfall catching. Samson got a 17. Despater was on his side.
Oof. Oh, so what kind of check is this?
DC 5 strength athletics to jump and clear the gap from 40 feet up.
I'm going to use my inspiration on this. Actually, crit.
I crit missed.
Oh, buddy.
So this was going to be a 4d10 spike, a 10d10 spike pit, but because of the slow fall, it's only 4d10. As you watch Ruber slowly float down, Featherfall holding him as he descends onto a pit, or onto a large spike. Ruber, I'm going to let you roll 4d10, and if it's enough to drop you to zero, you're impaled. If it's not enough to drop you zero, you manage to shrug yourself off and land on the far side. You would reasonably have taken time to short rest before this, so I think that does make you pretty secure from it.
I'm at 24 right now, and you mentioned we hit level 7.
Yeah.
I might use one of the abilities I got at level 7 to help me out with this.
Is it evasion?
No.
What is it?
It's a warlock ability.
That's not a rogue level. Oh, you're a rogue bard lock?
I'm a bard warlock.
Bard lock?
No.
Okay. What's the rogue ability you got? Warlock ability.
It's Tentacle of the Deep. I magically summon a spectral tentacle that can reduce damage against me as a reaction by 1d8. Yeah, I'm now one level into Fathomless Warlock because of the Kraken.
Pretty good.
That's pretty solid. How does that visually look?
Well, let's see how much damage I'm going to take, first of all. 4d10, right?
Yeah.
So 21, 28, so 4 more than my HP right now, but I can reduce that by D8, so I reduce that by 7. So I'm descending onto the spikes, and like as I'm about to like fall like face first onto one of them, a tentacle emerges on the edge of it and like pulls me out of the way as I'm like right about to fall face first onto them. Like my knees and like an arm is impaled on it, but a tentacle reaches out and pulls me away before I'm killed by them.
You all, it's dark, so maybe you don't quite see it as the elder things the deep pull him to freedom. But he hits the ground bloodied, so you're at like, what, 2 HP now?
3.
3 HP, as he slumps onto the ground. The rest of you float gently to it, and having been so caught up in your own thing, you didn't quite see that terror unfold. You scrabble him up to his feet as the fire's burning up over the ramparts and people are shouting inside, and you rush to the Naughty Dreams to row yourself back to the Melora's Borealis?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I want to... Can I cure wounds him on the way? Is it too quick? Okay, I do that thing. Him.
And as you get back to the boat, Samson climbs in and says, "Who's rowing?"
Welcome aboard, baby. I hand him the oars. Ruber gets 8 HP.
He suddenly realizes that he might have just shanghaied himself, and he rows you to shore, or back to the Melora's Borealis. When you get to the boat, Zelnern and Celeste, who have been at hand waiting with the crew, getting them happy and fun, they saw the fire erupt in the camp and heard the alarm bells, and realize that maybe a probably pirate ship isn't the best thing to have in the harbor when there's an Imperial camp that's now set on fire. So they help load the Naughty Dreams aboard as quick as possible, getting everyone on board, and look to the captain and first mate to send for the ship to sail off, I imagine.
All right.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a bad idea.
Oh, Ruber,
you're muted, Ruber.
Sorry, yes, it's time to...
So much pain from the tentacle.
Time to get the hell out of here. But also, while we're sailing out, why don't we crack open one of those barrels of brandy?
Zelnern's already like hauled it up on deck, and the ship gets moving as quick as possible as the alarm bells die down and the fires are staunched. And the Melora's Borealis escapes out to sea.
Hey, what's up, Chaotic Normies? It's been a while. It's me, your friend, Ryan, who plays your favorite bard, Bear Greyhand, on Chaotic Normal, The Shattered Isles. How's everyone doing out there? Hope you're all doing well. Staying away, trying to beat the heat. It's a scorcher out there. So be sure to stay hydrated and rate and review on iTunes while you're beating the heat. Rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Send any questions, concerns, comments, and your favorite homemade AC unit recipes to chaoticnormalpod@gmail.com. Yeah, thanks for listening. Hopefully you all liked Monster Hunters. I have some more episodes in the tank of those. Seem to be received pretty well. So, I'll keep releasing those every now and then to keep y'all in the loop. But talk to y'all in a couple weeks. And until then, bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.